Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is OIC Meeting, Uniting the Ummah, focusing on the idea behind Wednesday's gathering in Turkey. Turkish President Erdogan, this year's chairman of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, called an extraordinary meeting of its members to discuss Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital in an attempt to unite the international Muslim community, also known as the Ummah. It was very auspicious for Turkey to lead the organization at this time because it's both the rising leader in the Ummah and perhaps the only Muslim country besides Pakistan that has any chance of even modestly bridging the divide between rivals Iran and Saudi Arabia at this time. Moreover, President Erdogan hasn't shied away from harshly criticizing Israel and its Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the aftermath of Trump's decision, showing that his government's nominal military alliance with the U.S. and official recognition of Israel won't hold him back from speaking his mind about what he thinks is right, using his characteristically sharp rhetoric to drive home his points. The Palestinian issue, more so than any other, is capable of uniting the Ummah because of the enormous religious implications that it entails. The third holy mosque of Al-Aqsa is located in Al-Quds, which is known to the non-Muslim world as Jerusalem. And most Muslims consider Israel's 1967 capture of East Jerusalem and subsequent annexation of this territory to be an unforgivable occupation of their holy land, especially bearing in mind that Israel officially considers itself to be a Jewish state. It's for this reason why Trump's recognition of all of Jerusalem, including East Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa, as Israel's capital is so infuriating for many Muslims and holds the chance of uniting them across sectarian lines in support of the Palestinian cause. That being said, there are also nuanced geopolitical considerations at play which could impede this from happening, especially concerning Saudi Arabia's reportedly secret anti-Iranian coordination with Israel. The Saudi monarch holds a very special place in Islam as the custodian of the two holy mosques in Mecca and Medina. So any relationship that his kingdom has with Israel is bound to be contentious because it could be perceived as de facto legitimization of what many Muslims consider to be the illegal occupation of the third holy mosque of Al-Aqsa in East Jerusalem. Nevertheless, Saudi Arabia might be calculating that it's better to retain secret relations with Israel against Iran than to join forces with its untrusted foe, no matter how noble the cause may be. All right, folks, what's happening in the Mideast right now is certainly dynamic. Everyone is talking about it, and no one really knows where it's going to lead. But here on Trendstorm, we have an idea. And that's why we have two experts today to discuss this with us, the first of which is Mr. Ali Sayed. Ali is a political researcher and analyst based in Belgium.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Ali, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and the former Soviet republics that are part of the OIC all recognize Israel. So how do you expect this to influence the extent of non-rhetorical support that they extend to Palestine?
I would say rather than the recognizing Israel, I think the more important point would be how much the good relations they have with the U.S. and Israel. And I think for the former Soviet republics and Turkey, I think there is a less of a reliance on the U.S. So I think their decision and their status regarding Israel is not really such a hindrance on the level of support they can gradually eventually extend to the Palestinians. But I would say in the case of Egypt and Jordan, I mean, they rely much more heavily on the U.S. as for security needs. And I would also add some other Gulf countries too to this list. So I think their legal status regarding Israel will down the line be a hindrance for how much they can help the Palestinian cause.
Okay, well then, as you brought up the Gulf states, and you know the most prominent of those is Saudi Arabia, which has a hugely symbolic role in leading the Ummah support of Palestine, though its reportedly secret relations with Israel seem to contradict its actual commitment to the cause. So how do you assess the state of Saudi-Israeli and Saudi-Palestinian ties, and which of the two do you think are more important for Riyadh right now?
Yeah, I think the Saudi-Palestinian relationships are mainly symbolic now and moving forward, especially with the common threat that is Iran to Saudi Arabia. I think the Israeli relationship to Saudi Arabia is more important regarding its future security and later relations. But within the Muslim Ummah itself, the Palestinian relationship with Saudi Arabia is very important, just to maintain legitimacy and to be able to take this leadership role of the Ummah, which is, I think, a Saudi goal.
Okay, well, the next thing I want to ask you about then, Ali, is the existing state of the Ummah disunity over some of its members de jure and de facto recognition of Israel, because we spoke about that in the first question, how some of the members do recognize Israel and have different degrees of closeness with the United States. And now we just spoke about how Saudi Arabia has these secret ties with Israel, though it's an open secret, as you remarked. Now, with this being the state of play, how can the international Muslim community realistically unite on a state-to-state level in providing tangible support to Palestine?
Okay, well, I think what they're doing now is a very good step. The meeting called by Erdogan in Turkey right now, I think, is a very important first step just to get the countries united and focused in the same direction, which Donald Trump has so kindly provided us. But I think it's the first step, and it's a concrete position for there to be a unified stance on the issue. I think it's a good beginning, but I think later down the line, I think there has to be a unified recognition of what the relationship between these Muslim countries is with Israel and the U.S. I think there should be a more concrete proclamation of what that is, and maybe use it as a negotiating point later on. But the thing is that one thing that came out of it is the recognition that the U.S. is not really a legitimate broker anymore. And I think this is a very important recognition to have, and this meeting is a very good first step to it. And we have to see how it plays out and whether these steps are implemented and if they're taken further or not.
Okay, well, Ali, the last thing I want to ask you then is just building off of your last comment about how the U.S. is no longer recognized as a legitimate, honest broker in this peace process. So what kind of opportunities do you think this provides for Russia or maybe even China to kind of step in and fulfill that role instead?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very good point there because, the two-state solution, I think, cannot really be honestly be approached with U.S. as a broker. So I think China and some of the major players within the OIC and Russia will now take the mantle of leading the two-state solution, I suppose.
Okay, Ali, this was an enlightening conversation about the complexity of intra-Ummah ties and the challenges to the community's unified response and support of Palestine. I enjoyed our chat, and I hope that I'll have you on again sometime. Thanks again.
Trendstorm.
And now we're going to switch over and hear what Mr. Ogurcan Kosar has to say. Ogurcan is an Istanbul-based political commentator. Okay, Ogurcan, what role can Turkey play in forging greater and more substantial unity of action between Iran and Saudi Arabia in support of Palestine? And how successful do you believe these efforts will ultimately be?
Okay, beginning with the first question you asked, as you mentioned before, there are two rivals in the region, most of big in their grace, at least trying any kind, Saudi Arabia and Iran, and mostly they can be seen as the centers for two main brains, so Islam, Sunnis, and Shia. And again, as mentioned before, Turkey, besides Pakistan, has a great portion of its population as Shia, even if a very is 8% is Sunni. Turkey's actions in the Sunni branch, disturbing the Shiites in the region and in the country, percentages as recorded, many different sources are almost the same in two countries. This makes it hard for two countries to act so comfortably while taking decisions and pure Sunni back. Throughout the world, because Saudi's non-committal stance against Israel, because of their anxiety about Iran and often a free highway for acting as leaders for these two countries, Turkey and Pakistan. And finally, one of two will take the big share with their actions. Both Mahmoud Hussein and Recep Tayyip Erdogan share almost the same backgrounds, both politically and if you look at their personal lives. Means, against all the action of Trump administration controversial decisions, it is an unspaced thing that especially Erdogan will take an action as a leader without the presence of Saudi Arabia and the Sunni world. The second question, will Turkey step against Israel once more and break the tie? This is a very slippery field and make calls, many different results, and Turkey's decision will change according to the steps of the other countries.
Okay, yeah. This is actually what I wanted to ask you about. Actually, my second question was going to be about how Turkey previously broke relations with Israel. I mean, we see that happen in 2010 with the Gaza flotilla raid, But, I mean, they were eventually reestablished. So what I want to ask you, Agrajan, is if we keep that in mind, if we keep in mind that, you know, Turkey's playing this mediating role between the different members of the Ummah in support of Palestine, and President Erdogan previously broke relations with Israel and is threatening to do that once again, how seriously do you interpret his threats, and what practical effect would they have for Palestine?
As I told you a little while ago, this is a very slippery field and may cause multiple results. And Turkey's decision, as I told before, will change course and steps all the other countries' decisions that they will take. And I don't think that this is a very certain aspect. There is a very foggy area in this area, and it will change due to the country's decisions that will take and the foreseeable future, I think.
Okay, I see. Well, then the next thing I want to ask you, because, you know, we still have a couple more minutes left to continue our discussion, is how solidly do you expect the Ummah to unite in support of Palestine? I mean, we see that the OIC meeting has ended. All members recognize East Jerusalem as the capital of Palestine. They're in support of sending humanitarian aid to the Palestinians and standing in support of them politically. But to what extent can all of this realistically affect Trump's recognition of Jerusalem, all of Jerusalem, as Israel's capital? Could this also assist the third intifada that Hamas has announced? And is there any way that Turkey's efforts and the summit that just concluded can get Israel to agree to a fair two-state solution?
Ummah's unification issue is another question, and the Islamic world. As I mentioned before, there isn't a single united Ummah due to the branch issue. And in the foreseeable future, because of these reasons that I told before, it will be much harder to unite all Muslims in one role if we think realistically.
Okay, so we understand that this will be difficult to unite all Muslims. But having said that, do you think that any of the progress that has been made so far can have any impact on Trump's decision? Because it was Trump's decision last week that brought them all together just the other day.
Yeah, it may cause some results, and it's an anticipated thing. But a great possibility the country will wait a little more for these decisions, this controversial decision take back from the Trump administration, and they will choose a wait and see rather than a very sudden action. And it will take some more time for all the countries' action, and it will take some more time, I think, for many countries' action and for decision taken. And they will wait for, in my opinion, and they will choose wait and see rather than a sudden action.
Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you then, Ogurjan, is with this wait-and-see approach then, if I understand you correctly, this implies that any physical assistance to the third intifada that Hamas has announced is probably not going to happen anytime soon, that the assistance will probably remain political and moral and legal in international forums, but it won't actually translate to physical material support of Hamas, right?
Yeah, it's making that support all the time. In the recent years, maybe for decades, Iran's actions is a known reality. But personally, I don't anticipate any direct action and unification of the Ummah against Israel and trying to alleviate the fire rather than making a sudden action will be the decisions of the countries, and wait and see progress will take a time, more time, I think. And I don't anticipate a sudden action. And I think that the Trump administration will choose another option, maybe taking their decision back for a while. And these issues, I think, will not conclude in the aspect and in the foreseeable future, and will not result in sudden action from the Islamic countries in all brain. And the OIC's result will cause, in my opinion, a wait and see rather than a wait and see political decision rather than a direct assault to Israel and united Ummah against Israel. This is my opinion.
Okay, Ogurjan, thanks for explaining Turkey's role in uniting the Ummah in support of Palestine and the difficulties and limitations that still remain in this regard. I really enjoyed speaking with you today. Thanks again. Trendstorm. Now, folks, if we reflect back on what both Ali and Ugurjan shared with us today, we can see that yes, in a superficial sense, some progress has been made in uniting the Ummah, and Turkey has played a very important and powerful role in this regard. But at the same time, Saudi Arabia's ties with Israel are problematic. It's going to be a challenge for other countries that have de facto or even de jure ties with Israel to find a way to substantially support the Palestinians in spite of the relations with Tel Aviv. So there are many more issues at stake, but as was said in the interview, there is a wait and see approach. I mean, the whole idea behind this is to wait and see what's going to happen. No rash moves. And in that sense, the situation is stabilizing, but whether or not that's good for Palestine remains to be seen. Alrighty, folks, well, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.